And you can see the counter there.
All right. Good morning, everyone. Welcome to our service this morning. Once again, we've changed venues. We've changed the way we've done things. And I don't know about you, but I'm feeling a little bit like I'm being told what to do and where to go and how to get there and who I can talk to and who I can't. And I wonder, while reading through the scriptures today, I was wondering if Mary and Joseph felt a lot like that. If they were the ones who were feeling like, I'm being told what to do, I'm being told where to go, and I don't really want to go there. So if you're feeling like that, realize you're not alone. We're all feeling a little unknowing about what's coming and how we're going to do things in the future. One of the things I found out, though, is that there's a lot of comfort in our scriptures today about what's coming and God's in control. And we might not see it, we might not feel it, but God's still there and he still loves us and he still cares for us and he will take us through all that we are going through. This morning, I would like to read 1 Corinthians 1, verses 3 to 9, and then we'll pray. May all the gifts and benefits that come from God our Father and the Master Jesus Christ be yours. Every time I think of you, and I think of you often, I thank God for your lives of free and open access to God given by Jesus. There's no end to what has happened in you. It's beyond speech, beyond knowledge. The evidence of Christ has been clearly verified in your lives. Just think. You don't need a thing. You've got it all. All God's gifts are right in front of you. As you wait expectantly for our Master Jesus to arrive on the scene for the finale. And not only that, but God himself is right alongside to keep you steady and on track until all things are wrapped up in Jesus. God, who got you started in this spiritual adventure, shares with us the life of his Son and our Master, Jesus. He will never give up on you. Never forget that. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for this opportunity to meet to worship. It's not the way we expected. It's not necessarily the way we wanted. And Lord, I thank you that you are with us, that you walk alongside us, and that you will never, ever forget us or leave us. And Lord, may we wait expectantly for this finale that you have created. And may we not lose sight of you in all of this mess. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, if you have your bulletins, I would like to read our call to worship. It's based on Isaiah 64 and Psalm 80. The people are trembling with anticipation.
And we wait for Jesus.
The nights are long and the days are short.
And we wait for Jesus.
Our redemption is drawing near.
And we wait for Jesus.
Oh, that you would tear open the heavens and come down, so that the mountains would quake at your presence.
Restore us, O God. Let your face shine, that we may be saved.
We have all become like one who is unclean, and all our righteous deeds are like a filthy cloth.
Restore us, O God. Let your face shine, that we may be saved.
Do not remember our iniquity forever.
Restore us, O God. Let your face shine,
that we may be saved. Let us hope in God and worship as people ready to see the salvation of our God. At this time, we will have the lighting of the Advent candle.
The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid?
How can we prepare for the light of the world in this season? Why must we open ourselves to receive the one sent to save us?
May our heart's desire be to make space to receive the gift our Creator has sent us.
As we cry, come, save us, may we get on the road to readiness.
Shine on us, O God of justice. Guide our path through the gloom of night.
Bear within us wisdom's glory. Come to us, O Christ, the light.
One candle, burning bright,
chasing away the darkness from light. One candle, glowing light,
the blessing of God, giving new sight.
At this time, we'll have our confessions and words of assurance. Is there any hope for us? Can we be saved?
All of us are unclean. Our righteous acts are like filthy rags.
Do not be angry beyond measure, O Lord. Do not remember our sins forever. Look upon us, we pray.
O Lord, you are our Father, we are the clay, and you are our potter. We are all the work of your hand.
Forgive our sins. No ear has heard, no eye has seen a God like you, who works for those who wait for him. Mold us and make us into vessels you can use. Restore us, O God. Make your face shine upon us, that we may be saved. Most of the announcements are in your bulletin. There are two that I would like to draw your attention to. One that is not in the bulletin, to say that Marlis is in Humboldt Hospital. And also I'd like to encourage you, as Pastor Dan did last week, and that is in the bulletin, to remember those who are shut in and are alone. Send them a card, give them a phone call. Those are all appreciated. At this time, is our time for our offering. And I ask that you, well, normally we would put them in the offering plates that are at the front or the back of the church. Send them in however you feel comfortable doing that. Thank you. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for this opportunity to offer back to you what you have given to us. May you multiply what we have given. In Jesus' name, amen. At this time, we will call on Rose to give us a children's story.
Good morning. For you kids who don't know who I am Rose, and I'm Pastor Dan's wife. And I'm going to be telling children's stories during this Christmas season, each Sunday. So I hope that you are able to connect, however, either online or however you do, or if we have, I don't know what we're going to do next. So, have you ever been told to hurry up and get ready? And you say, well, ready for what? Well, sometimes it's for a trip or to go to school or to go to church or something else. Well, during these weeks, we are on the road to readiness for Christmas. And how do we get ready to travel on this road to Christmas? Well, I'll tell you what I do. I make lists. I make all kinds of lists of things that I need to get done because sometimes I'm forgetful. And I make lists on all kinds of bits of paper that I have. I make lists of things that I need to get done. I make lists of groceries that need to be bought, and I scribble them off. I make lists of things that I need to get done this week. So I make all kinds of lists. Now, when we think of lists and Christmas time, sometimes our thoughts go to little songs like, you better look out, you better be good. Santa's coming to town. He's making a list, checking it twice, going to find out who's naughty and nice. Santa Claus is coming to town. So Santa evidently makes lists, and maybe you make lists for Santa too. But let's start about thinking about traveling first. For instance, say you're going to go for a trip. So you need to pack your suitcase. What would need to go on your list for the suitcase? I'll put it here back behind me. Oh, there we go. You can't see it very well. I'm going to switch this way. Okay. So some things you might put on your list would be toothbrush. You want to take your toothbrush? Toothbrush. Okay. Maybe some extra undies. Undies. If you're going to stay overnight, obviously you're going to need your pajamas. So PJs. What else might you put on your list? A change of clothes. Change clothes. Socks. Can you think of some other things? Oh, maybe your favorite stuffed toy?
Chocolate.
Oh, stuffed toy. And Pastor Dan is suggesting we need to take along some chocolate. Okay. Now that list is different, perhaps, from what we might pack in our backpacks for school. Every day, some of us are going to school, if they're open. So what kind of things do we take to school? I don't know what kids take to school these days, but I have an idea of one thing for sure you're going to take, and that's your lunch. Maybe sandwiches, some fruit, some veggies, some cookies, or rice and other things. Take your mask. You want to make sure and put that on, right? Okay. So lunch, your mask. Now, if you had homework, then you'd need to take your homework back to school, right? So homework. Books. If you took some books home, you need to take your books back. Some kids take a phone to school. There's your phone. And then as you put those things in your backpack, you can mark them off. Got that done, got that in, got that in, got that in. Lists. Okay. So, what kind of list should we make for Christmas? Getting on the road of readiness for Christmas. Well, we might want to make a list of things that we want. Presents, our toys, or clothes, or whatever that we want. We make a long list of things that we want. And that is helpful for whoever is getting the presents, right? What other kinds of things do we do in our readiness for Christmas? Decorations. We want to decorate the house. Decorations. Put up the tree and the lights and some pretty things. How about special cooking things? Sometimes my house smells very good around Christmas because I make a few Christmas cookies, especially if I'm expecting family, which I'm not this year. Shopping. We want to maybe get something for those people that we love. That's shopping or making presents, making gifts for others, huh? Some years when we've been short of money, we just everybody made somebody something, which was, I thought, a very good idea, except I wasn't very good at thinking of things to make. Sometimes we can get so busy around Christmas time that this is all we think of. Making lists. Make sure we get everything. Gotta get presents for mom and dad and brother and sister. Da 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 da. Gotta hurry up and get the decorations up and hurry up and do this. And our minds get so full of our lists and things to do that we forget what Christmas is really about. What is Christmas really about? Do you know? Christmas is about when God's self, came down from heaven, put himself into a baby named Jesus, born in a manger long ago. He became human like us. Now, when we think about Christmas that way, it gives a whole other picture to those lists that we make. We almost feel like setting that list aside and saying, hey, well, that's just not the point. If Christmas is about our getting ready to meet God as a baby here with us, how do we get ready? How do we get ready to meet God? Well, sometimes we may get worried, you know, because we know we're not perfect. We maybe did something. We maybe yelled at somebody or scolded somebody or hit somebody or took something that wasn't ours or whined and fussed about something that wasn't going our way. And we need to say we're sorry. We need to prepare our hearts for Jesus. Say, I'm sorry. I am just not perfect. I do bad things sometimes. Do you do bad things sometimes? I do bad things sometimes. So we need to say, I'm sorry. So that maybe that would be on the top, one of the things of the list. So the very first thing at the top of the list should be, we need to remember it's about Jesus. Jesus. And then the next thing is to say, I'm sorry. And you know, if we say we're sorry, Jesus will forgive us and be okay. Then we need to think, what else can I do? What can I can bring to Jesus? What can I give to Jesus? God, here, with us. not think we have very much to give. But maybe we can give a smile. Especially a smile to somebody who seems sad. And in our own homes, we can give each other hugs. We can't do that to people nowadays because of COVID, but we can hug our family people. We can always smile at people. We can always hug people. We can wave to our neighbors. And we can be kind. This is the kind of thing that God wants from us as we prepare to say hello to the baby Jesus, to greet God, come to be with us at Christmas time. So as we get ready and we're on the road of readiness for Christmas, let's remember to keep Jesus in our first place, to say we're sorry, and to give smiles and hugs and waves and be kind. These are all things that God wants from us as we prepare for Christmas. So let's pray together. Dear God, we're excited to be on the road to Christmas. Remind us to put Jesus at the top of our list. He is more important than all the decorations and presents in the world. Thank you for loving us. Amen. See you next week.
Oh, hello. I didn't hear you come in. I'm afraid things are a bit of disarray here. You see, the master of the house asked us to prepare for a journey. However, he didn't say when we were going to leave or where we were going. Only that we were to ready ourselves for the journey. So, we're doing the best we can to prepare for and to be on alert for his arrival, which could be at any moment. Have you seen him recently? Do you know what his plans are? Pardon my asking, but obviously we have a lot of questions. It's difficult to prepare. How do you get ready when you don't know what you are getting ready for? On the other hand, if the master of the house were here, he would tell me not to worry. He would ask, when have I ever led him into a situation where I could not rely on him? Or he might ask, when has he ever let me down or was unavailable to help me? My answers to those questions would be never. I can always count on him. To be perfectly honest, I cannot remember a situation where I couldn't ask for his help. I always have questions. I don't understand why my confidence seems to falter when others seem to have such a steady and secure foothold. Why can't I be strong? My faith never leaves me completely, but I find myself in hesitation. I become bewildered and anxious and even afraid, seeking assurance when I most want to just radiate courage. I suppose it's just my nature. I've always been inquisitive and ask questions. I like to know what's going on and when, because when I know what's happening, I can make a plan in place. A plan gives me a sense of security and helps me to know how to move forward. Isn't this normal? Don't most people make plans? Some people, I guess, are perfectly comfortable stepping into the unknown, ready at a moment's notice to face whatever lies ahead. I wish I could be more like them. To trust more, to worry less. I suppose I like a certain amount of control, and I'm embarrassed to admit it. My feelings of worth are tied to the faith I put in him, not the work I do for him. But there are more important ways to get ready for the road than to clean and to pack. Just as one puts a plan in place for a journey, it's also important to prepare to enter into the experience of the journey. The master of the house regularly reminds me of the importance of having the right mindset. He tells me that the groundwork I lay inwardly is more important than my outward actions. I admit that I have missed blessings around me because I was too focused on the responsibilities at my fingertips. Sometimes I form expectations that can leave me feeling disheartened, frustrated, or angry when they don't happen as I imagined or expected they would. Sometimes I even feel completely out of sync with life around me. I tend to prioritize, checking things off my to-do list before focusing myself. I thought I knew what it meant to get ready, but getting ready is harder and more complicated than I realized. I have room for improvement, lots of room for improvement. I will need to be on guard because it doesn't come naturally to ready myself in this way. I also need to remind myself that uncertainty is not a reflection of outcome. The anticipation of the road ahead can make me feel uneasy and nervous. This is not something I have to fix. The plan is quite simple. Follow the master of the house, trusting in his abilities, and have faith in his plan. I realize you caught me making tangible preparations, but I want you to know that when the master of the house arrives and asks if I'm ready, I will be able to say I am. I have already asked myself if I am ready in the hidden areas that only I know. I don't want to miss out on the great mystery of what lies ahead. In the meantime, while my hands are busy, the rest of me will remain alert and ready, waiting for what is to come and watching for his arrival. I will be able to look at him and say, I am ready. Will you?
Hi. Sorry about this sudden change of plans, but thank you for Donna and Rose, who were alerted this morning on Saturday that they were going to do their part of leading us in worship now, Saturday morning. And hopefully Lisa will have been able to record her part, the monologue, based on Mark 13. In your bulletins, you can see that there are four scriptures listed, as usual with the lectionary. And I'm asking you to read them on your own this year. So when you get the bulletin sent to you a day or two ahead of worship, please read them. The monologues are going to usually focus on the New Testament gospel, and they're substantial. They're not just short little things, but they're very much a part of the sermon, mostly focused on one of the characters. I want to thank Donna for taking one approach about being ready to receive God's grace from the 1 Corinthians text, because the sermon's going in a totally different direction. Please use your imagination with me. What will the news media be saying near the end of the world? The global news. TSX and Dow Jones plummets as the world ends. Inc. magazine. 10 ways you can profit from the apocalypse. Saskatoon Star Phoenix. The current pandemic finally got us. National Enquirer. Lose 10 pounds by Judgment Day with our new Armageddon diet. Reader's Digest Canada. Successful plans people in the past have made to survive catastrophes. The Western Producer. How to assure your children during these frightening days. Western Producer. The pollution realities we should have warned you about. Today's parent is how to assure your children during these frightening days. Sports Illustrated, game over. Microsoft's website, if you don't experience a rapture, download software patch RAPT777.exe. the Vancouver Sun. Police and military join in with the riots and hoarding. Maclean's Magazine. Sorry, we should have stressed climate change and the dangers of the world's military-industrial complex more. Discover Magazine. How will the extinction of all life as we know it affect the way we view the cosmos? And the Toronto Globe and Mail. Hell has frozen over. The Maple Leafs won the Stanley Cup. This is a grim opening for Advent, but if you think back to the scriptures for every Advent, the lectionary texts open with scriptures of warning. Advent is the beginning of another church calendar year as we seek Jesus to strengthen us along the road of faith. And as Rose shared in the children's story, you know, how do we prepare for a trip or school or whatever it is the next day? Our overall Advent theme is on the road. Our focus today is on the road to readiness, staying alert for Jesus' second coming. What does that readiness look like? How can we prepare ourselves to receive the one sent to us? May our heart's desire be to make space to receive the gift Creator Almighty God has sent. As much as people try to deny it, like some are denying COVID, the end is coming. Whether it's our individual deaths, a natural disaster, a climate tragedy, a pandemic, war, or a combination of these. And we know the people that Vic and Chris have worked with Jeff and Monica in Honduras through Brighter Horizons, they're experiencing a miserable time with two hurricanes. Science tells us that stuff will happen, bad things will happen, our own experiences do, history and scripture warns us. So when things happen, it's not some temporary system crash. It often is, but sometimes it's very life-changing. But with the end of the world, it will be a complete crash that will bring in its wake a new heaven and new earth. There will not be a patch, some fix-it quick, simple remedy, or a vaccine that allows us to go on as if nothing had happened. This ought to catch our attention. It ought to make us think. The end is coming. That is a plain truth of the Bible. And the people who put the lectionary text together point it out to us every year on a regular basis, so we don't miss it. Readiness looks like a prayer, as in our reading from Isaiah that you can do at home. Isaiah requests, God, oh, that you would tear open the heavens and come down so that the mountains would quake at your presence. Readiness is a desire for our Savior, a heart cry for God at our level and in our circumstances now. Isaiah projects the miracle of the incarnation, God present with us, meeting the longing of human hearts. Our psalm reading says, awaken your might and come save us, restore us. That's reflected in one of our earlier readings. And readiness is a promise, as our message from Mark says. But in those days after that suffering, the sun will be darkened and the moon will not give its light, and the stars will be falling from heaven, and the powers in the heavens will be shaken. Then we will see the Son of Man coming in clouds with great power and glory. The Holy Bible asks us, are we ready for that moment when life ends? I imagine each of us can remember what happened when we were students back in school and the teacher announced that she was just going to step out of the class for a minute. I am sure you can remember words like, now class, I'm going down the hall to the office to make a call. While I am gone, I'm going to trust each one of you to act like ladies and gentlemen. Each of you have your work to do. I am going now and I'll be right back. And I am sure you can remember what happened when she walked out the door. When the teacher is away, there is a test that many people flunk. In my school days, I remember vividly there were a variety of actions, partly depending on the teacher, and partly depending on how long we were guessing he or she would be gone. Some kids worked, or tried to, while other children shot spitballs,
paper airplanes, and other missiles. Many others wandered around between desks, talking to one another, poking each other with pencils, and so forth. I still have pencil lead in my right forearm. Whatever occurred, you could be guaranteed that the noise level rose. Sometimes the whole affair got organized. One or two kids would stand near the door, listening and looking for the teacher's return. Some of their buddies would ransack the room, wrote notes on the board, or did something to the teacher's desk and chair. Right now, teacher Jesus is away. We are living between times, in the times between Christ's first coming as a babe in the manger and his second coming as Lord and Judge. We live between beginnings. And the question that the gospel poses for us is simply, are we going to pass the tests set by our teacher's physical absence? Or are we going to flunk that test, just as so many of us did back during school? The end, it is coming for this world and to each of us individually. It might be sooner or it might be later, but it is coming. We are warned to prepare ourselves. We have the technology to darken the skies, to make the heavens shake, and to cause stars to fall. We now have the means to bring about what is described in the book of Revelations, the means to cause one-third of all the birds of the air to perish and one-third of the fish of the sea to die, Revelations 8. By some accounts, this is slowly occurring now. We can now assemble an army of 200 million soldiers on the field of Armageddon, which is not far away from the nation of Iraq. A general in England recently said that fighting robots will soon make up one-fourth of the military personnel in the field of battle. Revelations 9 envisions a third of humankind being killed by the three plagues of fire, smoke, and sulfur. We have the scorpions today that have fire in their tails and the machinery by which the whole world might see the death of the two men, two witnesses to God's love in the city of Jerusalem. Refer to Revelations 11. And if we have the means to make it happen, perish the thought that we should actually do so, then how much more the Almighty? The Creator who through the prophet spoke of it thousands of years ago. The God who through his Son promised it years ago. A significant number of the passages actually in the New Testament that are in red letters, if you have that kind of Bible, where Jesus talks, he's talking about end times. From a fig tree lesson in Mark, we have this illustration. As soon as its branches become tender and put forth its leaves, we know that summer is near. So also, when we see these things taking place, we know that Jesus is near. This triumph of hope will be truly cataclysmic. The world as we know it projects pessimistic outcomes. But this world belongs to a Creator and it can be changed. It will be changed, and changed so radically that people will someday speak of a time when heaven and earth passed away. Mark clearly wants us to be part of the faith that informs our lives. Some may think that the time of Jesus' coming cannot be known. We need not think much about it. Mark draws the opposite conclusion. Since the timing is unknown, we should think about it all the time and prepare for it regularly. Not worry, but prepare for it. Some often think, since the time is unknown, it could be hundreds or thousands or millions of years from now. Mark draws a very different conclusion. Since the timing is unknown, it could be today, maybe this evening, or at midnight, or when dawn breaks. The season of Advent is about the coming of Jesus, the coming of the Lord as a babe in a manger in Bethlehem, and the coming of the Lord as a judge in power and might. We know the first coming of Jesus shows us the way of salvation, and we are told Lord Jesus' second coming will signify huge changes and the end. No reboot. To our knowledge, no restart, no going back to what we consider normal, as we all long for during these COVID days. So the question of the season, the challenge of the weeks that lie ahead of us is this: are we ready? Are we prepared for this trip? Are we ready to meet God? Are we ready to stand before the judgment seat? Are we ready to welcome the new world? Are you ready to see the old world come to an end? In some ways, it is with the coronavirus. The question for you and I, for the world, is not are we ready in the sense that survivalists are ready for the next big war, or earthquake, or flood, or fire, or as they were for Y2K in the year 2000. Remember all the panic and worry with computers? But are we ready for Jesus? That's a concern. Are we ready for the time when the world is judged, when we will be judged? The question is not have we saved enough canned food and toilet paper in our basement shelters, but have we prepared our eternal selves to dwell in heaven? The question is not whether we have taken our resources and converted them into physical assets where neither stock market crashes or computer failures can affect them, but whether we have taken our resources and converted them into spiritual assets, the assets that never pass away, even though all other things will cease. There are some things that we can take with us, and there are other things we cannot. The question of Advent is, are we awake? Are we prepared? Are we on the road to readiness? Our hope is that God will redeem the world. The question is, are we ready to be redeemed? Are we really ready and prepared to live in the kingdom of God, as it's so often described in the Bible, all through the whole Bible? Are we allowing the potter to form us into the Creator's clay? Or are we thinking the day of the Lord will never come? It is coming, my friends. Like when we play hide and go seek and the person who is it yells, "Ready or not, here I come." For us all, ready or not, may you and I be alert and awake and on the road to readiness. One little update that you probably know, but don't maybe have forgotten. We had two couples decorate the Christmas tree on Friday night. And today there's a group of people setting up all the other Christmas decorations around the platform, keeping the theme of on the road to readiness in mind. And I just want to thank them, just like the many people a few weeks ago or a week ago or so who shoveled and, and brought equipment. In your bulletin is a little blurb about the Micah Mission. It's a kind of thing that, it's a kind of group that possibly John could fill you in on. He works with another group, P2P, I think, that does the same kind of thing. But please don't forget to pray for them. And then, of course, we'll pray for Marlis. Those are the only two North Star prayers and prayers specifically that I know. And then we'll go into our other prayers of thankfulness. Let's pray. Dear Jesus, we know groups like the Micah Mission and their staff and volunteers working with incarcerated individuals and formerly incarcerated individuals and their families. Christmas season is a great time for their work. All year is, but we just pray that Dave Fink, Adriana Appleton, and Danielle Mappy, and others have wisdom and can keep up their contacts and maybe make some new ones during this time to help people get ready for you. We also remember Marlis, who you probably all know is in the Humboldt Hospital with a broken ankle, I believe. Pray for her and Willis during this time as they contemplate the future, and pray for recovery, quick healing. Merciful God, the signs of our times are worrisome. We gather in your presence aware that the earth groans in pain and many people are suspicious of each other. We thank you for your comforting presence in times of suffering and uncertainty and for your promise of life beyond death and hope beyond fear. As the longest night of this year draws near, comfort those who dread the darkness and direct those who have lost their way. Wherever people are overwhelmed by the demands of this season and the complications of COVID-19, let them hear your still small voice within all the clamor and confusion and catch a glimpse of your light shining in the night. God of all our nights and days, we remember that the days leading up to Christmas are difficult for many, especially this year, and especially with the surge in COVID cases. We pray for those who are hungry and cold. Alert us to the ways that we can set a feast for those in our community and beyond whose cupboards are bare. Warm them with your love. We pray for those who are grieving. Make us patient and compassionate companions to those in mourning, even when we're not sure what to say. Fill emptiness with your comfort. We remember those who are feeling very isolated this year. Inspire our hearts with ideas of how to reach out in friendship. Bring hope to the lonely with your friendship. A recent COVID musing was about the second pandemic, which is loneliness. Which, when you think about it, Jesus, is really ironic with all the communication tools we have. We pray for those who feel like the world is ending, whose lives have been uprooted by fire, flood, or storm, illness, job loss, or death. Steady us amid the upheavals of this year of pandemic and remind us that you alone are consistent. Your steadfast love will see us through, Jesus. In this we trust. Heaven and earth may pass away, but you are the source of everlasting life and undiminished hope. Help us trust in you, no matter what is happening. And now we pray together using the words that Jesus taught us. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory. Amen. Please hear this benediction. People of God, people on the road, keep alert, keep awake. The Lord is coming. Get ready. May the star of Bethlehem guide you. May the joy of the angels touch you. May the dedication of the wise men inspire you. May the warmth of the stable fill you. May the excitement of the shepherds inflame you. May the faithfulness of Mary and Joseph transform you. May the love of God through his Son enfold you. May all of us find peace, hope, and joy in our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Welcome to another Advent season, and please do not forget to give a card shower to those who are shut in by themselves, whether it's in a lodge or people at home. God bless you. Have a good week.